Let's get into God's Word. Everyone, if you would, turn to the book of Romans. We're going to go all the way to Romans chapter 15. We're going to read verse 1 through verse 7. Lord, thank you for your Word. Help us to hear it. Help us to understand it. And help us to respond to it by your grace. Again, in Jesus' name, amen. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, we're going to do something that just for a moment is a little bit light, a little bit fun, and I hope that you'll be okay with it. We're going to show you a video from the year 1980 of the World's Strongest Men competition. And this will help us to get into what we're going to talk about for a few moments together. So let's just watch this video, and then we'll make some comments as the video is going. We're not going to do it with sound. I'm just going to talk as the video is going. This is the world's strongest men who ever lived. See that guy right there lifting those weights? Ladies, those of you who are girlfriends or wives of the men who are coming back, these are the men you're getting back home with you, okay? If you're the mom of somebody who went, or you're the daughter of somebody that went, here's the men that are coming back to you from this God encounter. Nice, huh? Look at those muscles. Strong men. Somebody said strong like bull. Look at those guys lifting those strong things, you know? Are you excited they're going to do more chores around the house? They're going to carry a little more weight in the family. They might even pull the family in a big 18-wheeler. This is what you're getting back, ladies. Ladies of this church, you want to know what the men are going to be like now around this church? They're going to be hauling some heavy loads. They're going to be bearing some loads, working. We're going to go for God. We're going to run the race. Look at these guys' muscles. There's a whole bunch of pounds on the carts that they're pulling. And these are our guys. They're going to run for God. They're going to lift any load they got to lift. You know, this when God puts something in your heart, look at these guys. They're carrying freezers on their back. Ladies of Embassy Church, these are the guys you just got back from the weekend, all right? These are the guys coming back from the weekend. Are you excited, ladies? Isn't that amazing? Here's how that relates. You might be wondering, how in the world does that relate? The first statement in this passage says, we who are strong. God has called us as Christians to be strong. God needs us to be strong. In the book of Hebrews, the writer said to the believers, I have so much to tell you about, but you're not ready for it. Because you should be eating meat by now, but you still need milk. You're like spiritual babies. You need to grow up. And you will grow up, he said to them. You will grow up. We will go on to eating meat rather than just milk. God wants us to be mature in Christ. He doesn't want us to just know a little bit about the Bible, a little bit about God, have a small, weak, anemic experience with God. He wants us to have our roots go deep in God. So we're like a big, grand oak tree that has leaves that flourish, and if you're a fruit tree, fruit that is produced, so that you're accomplishing something. You're providing shade for others. You're providing beauty for others. You're providing oxygen for others. You're providing fruit for others. All of these things are what these strong trees do. And God wants us to be strong. It says, those who are strong, we who are strong is the first one. We who are strong have an obligation. God wants us to be willing to take up responsibility, to be obliged, to take on obligations for others. Sometimes we need to recognize that we're in a moment of weakness. And I've been there. Have you ever been there where you are weak and you need help from others? But do you want to stay there? Or do you want to be involved in not just receiving from others, but giving to others? I want to ask the question so that we have some real clarity here. What does strong look like? We know what it looks like physically. It's like those big brutes that we just saw on the screen right there. But we're not talking about that kind of strength. We're talking about moral strength. We're talking about relational strength. We're ultimately talking about spiritual strength. And one of the evidences of being strong is that you are not easily offended, you're not easily distracted, and you're not easily defeated. Sometimes we're so easily offended. Why? Because we haven't put our roots down deep in God. We haven't learned the security of His love. We haven't received the depths of revelation that God has for us. And so we're easily offended. Even in the church, we get offended. Even in our families, we get easily offended with each other. And so what we need to do is not get down on ourselves and say, oh, I'm easily offended. The pastor's picking on me because I'm easily offended. No, we say, you know what? God, make me stronger. When people are easily distracted, myself included, it's an evidence of weakness. What the Word of God says in Proverbs is, if you falter in the day of trouble, how small is your strength? Faltering happens for two reasons. One, the reason why sometimes you're not in the Word like you should, reading the Bible, the reason why sometimes you're not in prayer, the reason why sometimes you're not shining the light of Jesus is because you're too distracted with other things. You're distracted with all the responsibilities you have. Those are good things. And you've got to be involved in those things. But when all of a sudden you realize, I'm just living like anyone else. There's no difference between me as a Christian and anyone who's not a Christian. At that point, you need to realize, God, I thought I was strong, but maybe I'm not so strong. I've been so distracted from worshiping God, from being with God and bringing people to God. Those distractions are just evidences of weakness in our lives. And when you recognize, you know, when you recognize that when you're weak physically, you don't go, I'm just going to give up. No, if you recognize you're weak physically, say you're weak by sickness, what do? You go to the doc, you take a little bit of aspirin, whatever. You get better so you can be strong again, right? It's the same thing with when you're weak physically, and you say, you know what, I need to get to the gym. I need to start going for some walks. I don't have physical strength. I don't have the stamina I used to have. I don't have the oxygen intake that I used to have. I need to get strong physically. You do that. Why not spiritually? Why don't sometimes you recognize, you know, if I'm weak spiritually, I'm not going to get down on myself. I'm just going to get strong in God. Ephesians chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord. See, it's not you trying to muster up your strength. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to be with God. I'm going to do that. The Bible says the way to be strong is to plug yourself into God. It's just by crying out to God, God, I'm weak, make me strong. Your word tells us that you want us to be strong. You want people, you see, the church is not going to work for the weak unless the church has the strong. Are you hearing me this morning? No, this afternoon. This is weird. Anybody show up this morning for church? Anybody show up? You don't want to admit it if you did, right? Give me a second here. I got to put my glasses on and I only have two hands, I think. The last thing of what strong looks like is really by the antithesis is that you're not easily defeated. I don't want to keep losing battles spiritually. I don't want to keep, yielding to temptation. I don't want to keep missing the. I don't want to be defeated in any area of my life, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. I don't like defeat. I just don't like it. I like defeat, but not defeat. Okay, you didn't get that, did you? I think only Jonathan and Ray got that. All right, defeat. You know, but I don't. I don't like being defeated. But sometimes we settle for it. We just settle for defeat. I just keep messing up and all. How about if we stop making excuses for ourselves and say, you know what? That's a sign of weakness. I don't need to be defeated. I don't need to give in to that temptation. I don't need to just short-circuit my relationship with God, my relationship with my family, my relationship with the church family. I don't need to, I can't just keep saying, you know what, I'm not going to be the church people. Yeah. Some of you guys really struggle with lateness. Can we be honest? Some of you guys are really latecomers to church. And I'm going to be honest with you, you're settling. You're settling for it. You don't settle for it at work. Everyone's going, that got really quiet. You just settle for it. You just settle. I'm just a late person. I can come in halfway through worship, halfway through the sermon. I might even come in for the closing. Now, I know sometimes it's hard to get to church. Sometimes you oversleep. We all have issues, right? Anybody want to be merciful to me? Want me to be merciful to them? Okay? We need some mercy, right? But if there's a chronic thing going on with you where you never make it to church on time, at some point you need to go, you know what? I am not going to settle for defeat in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to do it. Now, some of you are feeling really guilty because you went, he's talking to me. He saw me come in, and he's just being ruthless with me. And the sad thing is, if I ever bring that up, it might have been the only time in your life you were late to church and you're feeling all guilty. Be free of that guilt in Jesus' name, okay? Be free of that guilt in Jesus' name. But what I'm saying is that, you know, we recognize, you know what, that doesn't help make the church strong. And some of you are in your finances, you're just defeated. You're like, man, I'm never going to be able to pay my bills. I'm never going to be able to give to God. I'm never going to be able to do it. How about if you stop making excuses and you say, you know what, my God's a big God and he's going to be big in my life. My God's a strong God and I'm going to let him be strong in my life. Can you say amen, church? All right, let me keep going here. It's hard. Let me go here. I need a third hand, Lord. Laura, that was a classic. Somebody record. Somebody write down what Laura just said. If you didn't hear that on the other hand, on the other side, she said, if you grow a third hand, no one's showing up to this church. No one's coming here. Let's go on to the next one. First, it starts with we who are strong. Hey, by the way, I want to say one more thing. You know what, church? Some of you might be asking, how do I get strong? You're calling me to get strong. How do I get strong? The first thing is just start praying. Just start saying, God, please help me to be strong. Second thing is start reading his book. But every church should have a strategy, a God-given strategy for how people can grow personally and how they can help others grow. Next week, we're going to have it all in one little pamphlet to give out to you. We had it this weekend for you, but we brought the computer with us, and we didn't have it for the ladies to give out to you today. So we'll have it next week. But it's called The Journey of Growth, and it just outlines our cell groups, our ministries. It outlines our school of leaders. It outlines our encounter stuff, all that stuff. It directs us to our website. You know what? God has given Embassy of Church a strategy for growth, for people to grow strong, for individuals to grow spiritually, but also for people in the body to help others grow. You see, God wants you to grow and be strong, but he also wants to help you to help somebody else grow and be strong. You know what? We got a great group, a great team of leaders on this men's encounter, And these guys poured into these other guys, and I could tell you these other guys, these guys helped me to become stronger in my relationship with God. These guys, Ray and Gary and Joe, who had to drive to Baltimore from there, and Saul, these were our leadership team, and they poured into these guys. And what I'm saying is when you have strong people in church, they can help others to grow strong in God. So if any of you are asking, hey, how do I grow strong? There's your answer in Jesus' name, okay? All right, come on, let's go on to the next one. Those who are strong, what does it say then? Have an obligation. How many of you want to be obligated? Be honest. Just, you know, you want to be obligated. Is it hard to raise your hand? Because we live in D.C., and doesn't it seem like we're obligated to everything here? I mean, everything seems to take more time. Everything seems to be a little bit more challenging to do when you live in a city in such close proximity to so many people and so many cars and all that stuff. And you got long hours. I understand all that stuff. And you feel like you're obligated to everything. But what the Word of God says is those who are strong in the body are obligated. Here's what Paul said way back in Romans 1. You might remember, Paul says, I am obligated both to the Greek and the non-Greek, the educated and the uneducated. I am obligated to preach to them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, you're obligated. You're obligated in the same way that somebody who has the cure for cancer would be obligated to tell somebody that they had the cure for cancer. You have something greater than the cure for cancer. Cancer, the cure for cancer can extend your life. Jesus can give you eternal life. The cure for cancer can relieve you of your temporary suffering. Jesus can relieve you of your eternal suffering. You might not this morning have the cure for cancer, but you have the cure of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the cure for all eternal suffering. And so, doesn't that mean you're obligated somehow? Doesn't that mean that it's your moral responsibility to be strong and learn how to share the gospel? If you don't know how to share the gospel, say, God, I don't have a clue how to do this. I'm afraid to do this. Cast all your cares upon the Lord, the Bible says, because he cares for you. He knows of our weaknesses. He became human. He gets this human thing. He understands our temptations. He was tempted just like we are in every way, but without sin. He knows how to overcome sin. And so he look to the one who understands you, but also has the strength to give you. And say to him, Lord, I don't know how to be obligated to care for people in the church. I don't know how to be obligated to preach the gospel. Just lay that burden on him and then watch how God comes underneath you and gives you the ability to minister in the body of Christ, to care for people, to lead a Bible study or to lead a ministry or to partner with others in caring for people in the body of Christ. This church needs it. Every church needs it. The world needs it. We need to be strong and recognize that we have a responsibility before God. We are obliged to minister to those who are weak. Can you say amen? Weak spiritually. That means you're not making fun of people. Like usually when people say you're weak, they're making fun of you. Like the guy who kicks sand in the guy's face at the beach. You remember that old parable, right? The guy. And we don't like that. But what we're saying about weak is they haven't grown yet in the Lord. They don't know the Lord. And we're obligated. We have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. That's what it says to them. What do we do for the weak then? Those of us who are strong. We bring them to the one who makes them strong. That's why it's great to bring people to church. That's why it's great to bring people into a cell group where you're growing in Christ together. That's why it's great to bring people to an encounter weekend. Because what you're doing is you're bearing with the failings of the weak. How do you help the weak? You help them to become strong. You get them to a place where God is pouring out. We're all weak. All of us are weak. We can look back at times in our lives. I shared about how I almost lost my marriage as a pastor over this weekend. As a pastor, our family almost broke up. We all have times of weakness in our lives. All of us struggle in our marriages and with our kids. All of us struggle with our parents. Sometimes we struggle in life. Life gets tough, and we all have weakness in things. But we need to stop making excuses for just being weak. We need to rely on the strength of God and receive that, not only for our own sake, but for others' sake. Because once God puts you back together, he wants to use you to help somebody else in their time of weakness. I'm glad right now that my marriage is not on the rocks. Man, it feels so good. It feels so good. It's great. It's secure. I'm glad that my daughters can still respect me as a dad. I'm glad. I know you don't respect me 100% because I'm not perfect. I know that. But I was fearful for you young ladies because I thought if they look and see the example of their dad, and if their dad is a pastor and he's not taking care of his wife like he should, then maybe they're going to think, well, am I ever going to find a man? Because he's Christian and a pastor. And if a Christian and a pastor is not going to be the good kind of man, then what do I need? But you know what? I'm glad that I ran to God. I'm glad that I was able to humble myself and go to counseling. You don't, as a pastor, go to counseling for your marriage. You don't do that. You're supposed to have the answers. But at some point, you need to go, you know what? I'm weak. I'm not going to pretend and play around with this. I can't act like this is going on. I need to go and get strong. You know what I'm glad about now? Now I can tell, I have men that come to me and they start talking to me about their marriage. And I go, oh, you have no idea, pal. You have no idea, man. You talked to the wrong guy. I start telling them how I missed my wife's signals. I just wasn't listening. I was trying to do the whole guy thing, just fix it. You know, it'll be okay. You know, everything's good. You should be happy. You know what guys do, right? And the whole time I was saying that, she was just getting more and more burdened. You know, just more and more, just feeling like I didn't care, you know. And I didn't. I thought I did. But love is a verb. Love is not an emotion. You got to do something if you love somebody. You got to be there for them. You got to listen to them. You got to understand them. And I had to admit, I don't love my wife like Christ loved the church. But you know what? I'm glad now I'm not a perfect husband. My wife can tell you I am not a perfect husband. But she said to me a little while ago, you know, I feel safe and secure with you. And it was one of the greatest words I ever heard. I feel safe and secure with you. And she didn't feel that way at one point. She didn't feel that way. Those who are strong, you're going to be strong or you're going to be weak? You're going to settle for weakness in your life or you're going to grow? You're going to grow up. That's the way we are spiritually, and that's the way we are emotionally. That's the way we are socially. Oh, it's all bad. I'm saying it's okay to sometimes to be weak, but at some time you got to get strong in God. Not only should you benefit by that, but so will your family. You need to be strong for your family. You need to be strong for the church family. You need to be strong for this city. We need to make a difference for God. We need the glory of God in this city. We can't just sit around and be weak. We've got to be a strong force for God. We've got to be a mighty force for God so that this city changes. This city, somebody says it's going to hell in a handbasket. I look at all the development and all the stuff. They're building these beautiful buildings and all the things around there. But I start getting with people, and I find lonely people struggling with alcoholism, struggling with divorce, struggling with how to raise their kids. I see all kinds of broken homes. I see so many homes without a father. At some point, if the people of God are not strong, what happens to the city? What happens to the people who are in need in that place? At some point, we've got to be strong so that we could bear with the failings of the weak. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help us, God. Make us strong, God. Help us to bear with the failings of the weak. Help us to bring the weak to you. In Jesus' name, God. Here's the next line. Not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. Let me make this comment on this. If you came here to this church for yourself, you came for the right reason. But you have to know that's not the only reason you should be here. That's not God's will for you. All of us come here because we need, the Bible says we need fellowship. We need teaching, worship, prayer. We need that, right? We need it. All of us need it. But the Word of God says that it's not about us meeting our needs. It's about us meeting the needs of others. You see, at some point, when you grow strong, you will know God's got me covered one way or the other. He's going to meet my need. So I can go ahead and make sure that God can use me to meet somebody else's need. Do you know, you guys, I'm going to really just bless you right now by saying, I'm going to really help you right now. Do you know that just by coming to church, you're meeting someone else's need? Just by showing up. You know why? Because if you're not here and they show up, they're going to think, oh, there's no one here for me. But just by you showing up, just by you coming, you're helping somebody else. They're encouraged because if you're not here, they're gonna be like, oh, where are they? But when you're here, all of a sudden. But then if you go beyond just showing up, if you start praying for people, getting to know people, finding out people's names, all of a sudden you're not going to be just pleasing yourself. You're going to be pleasing others. And that's what the Bible wants us to do. Here's what God says in the book of Galatians. It says, it is the will of God that we bear the burdens of one another. This is the will of God. When we do that, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's the law of love. It's helping others to become strong in God. Now, there's all kinds of forms of strength. They can become strong in God, in their relationship with God. They can become strong in ministry. They can become strong in service. They can become strong in their personal lives, in their finances. But at some point, God says, we are not to please ourselves, but we are to please our neighbor for their good. And then what do we do for them? Why do we please them? To build them up. Your goal, my goal, should be to be strong and make others strong. You might say, how do I help others to get strong? Get them in a cell. Get them in an encounter. We have the School of Leaders books that are starting to be on sale, so you could start your summer reading for School of Leaders this fall. You know, bring them to a celebration service. I'm not going to point them out because it'll be embarrassing for both of them, but I saw somebody come in today that brought a guest with them, and I was so excited to see that. It was awesome, and that's ways that we can help build others up. Paulo, on a Thursday night Bible study, in Pastor Sowell's, that's prophetic right there. Hey, there was an inadvertent prophecy right there, Sowell. That's an awesome thing, man. And this Spanish fellowship, we took the. We, by the way, you know, 2 weeks ago we took the Spanish fellowship on the road. We're now traveling, Pastor Sowell, and all the others, you know. They went on the road. Cindy and all those guys, they went on the road. You know where they went? To Columbia Heights to start the Bible study in Columbia Heights. And it was awesome. When we got in there, there were four ladies, a half hour before it was supposed to begin. When we walked in the door, there were four ladies sitting there facing us in chairs. And it was almost like they were saying by their body language, where have you been? We've been waiting for you, right? And a few weeks ago, Paulo. And I might prophesy right there and say, Pastor Paulo, for the future too, because I told Paulo, I said, someday I would be honored to be a parishioner in your church and call you pastor because of the hand of God in your life. And you know what? With Paulo, he gave a Bible study. I don't know if it was the first one. I doubt it was the first one you've given, but it was the first one I heard. And I sat there and said, Lord, I love this man's teaching. It was so beautiful. It started in Genesis, and it went all the way through. And I thought, it was so powerful. And you know what he said in his statement? He said, it's not me, it's we. It's not about me, it's about we. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, let us. These are the let us scriptures. How many of you like vegetables? Okay? You like tomatoes? You like cucumbers? This is the lettuce, okay? The lettuce of the Bible. How many of you knew lettuce was in the Bible, okay? Because in Hebrews 10, it says, let us, not the kind of lettuce you eat, but let us, and then it goes on to say, let us spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. Let us, you know, and it just keeps going on. Let us enter into the presence of God. It's not me, it's we, it's us. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 15. It says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. It's a community, folks. We are a family in God here for the glory of God. When Jesus taught us how to pray, he didn't say, my Father. He said, our Father. We're going to get into this later. But one of the major themes of Romans that you don't catch right away because it's such a different context than what we're used to today. We don't have this whole Jewish-Gentile thing and all that was going on in the book of Romans in many contexts today. But one of the awesome themes and major themes of the book of Romans is unity. Let's look at the next one. For Christ did not... I don't even know how much time I have. What time do we start? I have 15 minutes, do I? Yeah? All right. The next one is, for Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And that's a prophetic word from the book of Psalms, I believe. It's in the Old Testament. And it's describing the Lord Jesus, who was taking on the reproach that people were giving to God as the Son of God, was just letting those reproaches fall on him. You know what this passage is speaking to right now? There's a lot of meaning into it, but the main point that is being made here is that Jesus is our model. He's the prototype. He's the if you want to look at a cookie cutter, you know, the shape, and you say, this is what I want for this to look like. Jesus is our, he wants, we need to be made in his image. Jesus is our example. That's what this verse is saying. It's saying, consider Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, fix your eyes. Fix them. You know, like lasers. Like, I'm not looking anywhere else. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the Lord Jesus. He's our example. And you know what? You can be blessed by your Christian brothers and sisters. You can be blessed by Christian family members. You can be blessed by church leaders or what have you. But ultimately, Jesus is our example. The only reason why we follow some people in the church is because we're obedient to Christ and we're doing it as they follow Christ. Can you say amen? I loved what David's his testimony was today. You heard what he shared? He said, my dad was absent. There was a dad, but he was absent. And now I could look back and I could say, you know, Jesus was there as my father the whole time. And he was coming to me in the form of pastors and other men in the church, and those were the men that I was learning from to be a man. And you're a man, Dave. You da man. Everyone say to Dave, you da man. And you will continue to be the man, and you will grow even more to be the man, Dave, as you fix your eyes on Jesus. He's your model. He's your example. You know that. You testified to it today. You said that what I received from those men is what Jesus had given to them for me to receive. And so we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. All right, let's go on. I'm going to finish this, but I won't take as much time. I'll try and move a little bit because we'll take, you know, another, I don't know, half hour or so. That was a joke. Next line. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Lesson from that statement, the Bible is the key. If you're going to grow strong, you got to pick up that book. Even if you don't know where to start, how to read it, you just say, God, I don't know where to start. You got to lead me. You know, get me in a Bible study that will help me to get going or help me to, you know, we have all kinds of resources at our website for Bible study and prayer and all those things. But you know what? You could just say, Lord, I don't know where to read. Help me to start. And then you can, honestly, I don't do this regularly in my life because of the place I'm in God, but open up the Bible and just point to it and start reading. Just ask God to do it. Or start at Genesis. Start at Matthew. Start at the beginning of the Old Testament, the beginning of the New Testament. And if you start to get bogged down in Leviticus or the Chronicles where they're telling you everybody's Father and Son and all those things. That's important, but that's not the heart of the message, right? And so if you start getting bogged down in that, just skip it. You'll get back to it later. Get back to the story and learn from God. But the Bible is the key. That's what it says there. You need the encouragement of the Scriptures to have hope. You need what was written in former days for your instruction. Why? So that you could have endurance. And you can have encouragement. Where does your endurance come from? From the Word of God. You get into the Word of God, God will help you. He'll instruct you. He'll give you what you need to become strong. And by the way, can we call those two words E and E? Endurance and encouragement. Why do we need endurance and encouragement? The answer is right there. Because unity and love does not always come easy. You could go to a conference and hug every Christian in the place and say, man, I felt the love. We love each other. But then you go sleep with them in a cabin or a hotel, you know, and they're snoring. And then you go, okay, now do I really love? Unity comes hard. Sometimes you have to endure. Sometimes you need to be encouraged. You know, in family life, you know that it's true. Sometimes family life is hard. You get on each other's nerves. You get frustrated and all that stuff. It's hard. And at some point, you got to endure. Why do we need E and E? Because love doesn't always come easy. Unity doesn't always come easy, especially in the church when there's different beliefs and convictions. But we have to have E and E according to the Scripture, because E and E, endurance and endure and encouragement, is where hope comes from. And how many of you need hope? Come on, how many of you need hope? We've got to have hope. We've got to have hope to keep us alive. And in Jesus, you have hope for everything. You have hope for eternal life. You have hope for this life. You have hope even when you don't think you have hope. As long as you have Jesus, you have hope. At one point, I didn't think my marriage had hope, but God had hope for my marriage. And at some point, I needed a little endurance and a little encouragement. My wife needed a big amount of endurance and encouragement. And we had to have hope back instilled in our marriage and in our family. And at some point, when you have endurance and you have an encouragement, you got hope. And when you have hope, everyone needs that. So you're good to go when you have hope. And then look at the next line. May the God of endurance and encouragement. There they are again. Twice. The two E words. Why does Paul repeat these two words so close together? Because Paul knew that as believers, we are in a spiritual battle, and we have an enemy that will do anything, go to any length to distract us, to divide us, and to defeat us. That's the truth. You don't think the enemy knows your address? You don't think the devil and the demons of hell know your address because you're a Christian? Just because, you know, if you're a Christian, then that means you belong to Jesus. And I don't know if you know, we talked about this on the encounter. Jesus is the devil's archenemy. So just by saying you belong to Jesus, you're a target, dude. You're a target, dudette. Ladies, you felt left out, didn't you? The reality is that we need encouragement because we are in a spiritual battle. And we've got to have encouragement. We've got to have endurance. We have to have hope in the middle of that battle. What's the next line? May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another. You see, unity and harmony is an ability that comes from God. Can somebody say amen to that? Let me say it again to give you a chance. Unity and harmony is an ability that comes from God. You might not think that you could get along with others, but God can enable you to. It is possible because of God through Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's what Jesus wants more than anything else. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for his followers. And he prayed, Father, let them be sanctified by your truth. Let them be protected by your power. And let them be one. Let them be united. Let them be unified. Unity is the key to the blessings of God. In Psalm 133, it says that when brothers dwell together in unity, it's there that God commands his blessing. So be encouraged. Be given endurance. Have hope. And why? So that God will grant you to live in such harmony with one another. The next line says, in accord with Christ Jesus. We're talking about unity with Jesus by being like Jesus. The next line says, that together. And the lesson there for us is together. Everyone say that word, together. When my kids were little, we had a little book. And the main word in that book was together. And it said stuff like, we're going to go to the park together. My little girls would say that, together. We're going to have dinner together. We're going to, I don't know, it was all the different things that we're going to do, but everything we were going to do, it ended with together. Ladies, you're going to go to a God encounter together. Guys, you're going to continue on with the God encounter that you just came from together. And those of you guys who weren't with us in this last God encounter, you are certainly welcome to go with us. We're going to come to church. We're going to pray. We're going to study the word. It's what the Bible says, together. You know how many togethers there are in the Bible? Do you know how many one another's there are in the Bible? It's God's plan for us to be together. The next one is the word you, and you say, well, there's the word you. And you say, well, that's not together. That's not unity. That's just one person. But in the Greek, when you look at the word, the case that it's in, you find out it, even the word you is in plural form. And the way we talk about that, my dad's kinfolk all down there in the South, when they talk about people in plural, they say y'all. And those of us from Jersey, we when we talk about people together plural, we say yous. Yous guys. Yous guys. Hey, yous. Hey, you. But the Bible, it makes it clear that you together are to, with one voice. Do you see that next line? With one voice. That means unified. That means all on the same page. We know why we're here in church. We know why we're here together. We know why we're worshiping. We are worshiping so that with one voice, listen to this next one, with one voice, we can glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it is all about. That's what we're here for. That is the purpose of our existence, of the existence of this church. We are here solely for to glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you want to say, hey, Pastor, calm down a little bit. Your blood pressure is going to get up. How many of you know God's going to take care of all of us? Amen? I want to ask this question of you. Do people around you know about God because of you? If so, maybe you're not living enough yet for the glory of God. Can I ask this of us as a church? Do people around us know about God because of us? Let me ask a similar question, but in the same vein. Are people around us impressed with God because of us? Is both our witness and the quality of our witness attracting people to God, making people look, when they look at us, do they go, man, I got to get what they have? Carmen, back in like the 70s or so, I don't remember when he sang a song, I want some of that. I want some of that. And he says that sometimes you see people and they're so loving with each other and their relationships are being healed, their families are growing strong, and the world says, I want some of that. That was my Carmen impersonation. Some of you have no idea who Carmen is, but God still loves you, okay? The next line is, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Don't just welcome one another. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Invite others in to the family of God. Invite others in and make them feel comfortable. Why? That's the next line. Again, there it is. For the glory of God. Is that clear enough? Does that spell it out clear enough? It says that we do this to glorify God our Father His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it ends the line, welcome others as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we don't want to just live and then die and it's over. We want to live for eternity, Jesus. We don't want to stand before you and recognize then with horror that not only do we not know you, but you don't even recognize us. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you help us to know you and help us to make sure that you know us? That you can look at us, and I know you know where we are. I know you know our name and all that. But I want to make sure that you know us all as your friends. That you say, oh yeah, we spent lots of time together. And it's just natural for you to say, hey, come on in, we're family. But Lord, I don't want any of us to stand before you and have you just say, I don't even know you. You never accepted me. You never invited me. And I knocked and knocked and you left me out. And God, don't let that be any of our experiences here. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that if there's one person here in this place who doesn't have a relationship with you right now, didn't have a relationship with you when they walked in the door, maybe they're running from you, maybe they just don't even know anything about you, or I don't know why they might be in a situation where they don't have a relationship with you, but please let that be different before they leave, God. Let people start a relationship with you right now, in Jesus' name. I'm just going to ask every one of you here just to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. And give somebody an opportunity. Sometimes it's hard in a crowd where nobody knows you, or maybe everyone does know you and they don't know what's going on in your life, to publicly, you know, stand at first and say, you know what, this is where I am. But I just want to give opportunity for, while our heads are bowed and our eyes closed, just for somebody here to say, you know what, I really don't want to walk out of this place without a relationship with God. And I know it's not about church membership or denomination or, you know, a different church or whatever. It's just about me praying and saying, God, I want you in my life. And so if that's you this afternoon, could you just raise your hand so I could see your hand? Because in a moment, I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to pray for you by name. But if you don't have a relationship with God, would you just raise your hand so I know that there's somebody here that wants me to pray for them? Just lift up your hand if you say, I don't have a relationship with God, and I need to have that. I need to know Jesus. I want Jesus to know me. If I were to die right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. And if that's you right now, I want you just to raise your hand, and then I'm going to pray for you before we pray for all of us together. Lift up your hand right now if that's you and you want to raise your hand. Anybody? I'll wait just a moment. Anybody? You say, that's me. Anybody? I just want to wait just a little bit. Give you the opportunity, if you want, to lift up your hand. Keep your head bowed, if you would, and your eyes closed. We're going to pray still. But if there's anyone who said, you know, I really wanted to lift up my hand, but I just didn't do it for some reason in the end, if that's you, then feel free to come and talk to us after the service at the picnic or wherever we are. Just come and say, you know, I want to talk to you. Talk to any of us, and we'll be able to share with you. But now let's pray for all of us. Father, we just prayed in the name of Jesus, saying that we don't want to die and have that be it. We as believers who have already started a relationship with you and gone a different measure of the journey with you, we also say we don't want to die and just have this be it. We also want to live for eternity, but that's also meaning, Father, that we want our lives to count for eternity. We don't want to live our lives and have nobody remember us, God. We want to lead people to you that will be in heaven for all eternity, Father. God, that's our heart. And so, Lord, would you help us, God, to both in the church and outside of the church to be, first of all, to be strong for others so that we can help them to be strong in you, God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to be eternal destiny changers, world changers. Help us, God, to to impact other people's lives, Father. Help us, God, to see family members and friends and even strangers we don't know, God. Help us, God, to bring them to you so that they could come out of their spiritual weakness and come into strength in you, God. Know you personally, Father. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to do what you've called us to do in Jesus' name. Can we say amen, church?
Amen.
Amen.